This is the Parallax for Friday, February 6, 2026. Multiple angles, one picture. Here's what you need to know today. We begin with breaking news out of Pakistan, where a suicide bombing has struck a Shiite mosque in Islamabad during Friday prayers. The attack in the Tarlai Kalan area has killed at least 31 people and injured nearly 170 others. What makes this particularly significant is the location. Islamabad is Pakistan's capital, and attacks of this scale there remain relatively rare, even as the country grapples with a broader surge in militant violence. Pakistani authorities have not yet identified who carried out the bombing. The BBC emphasizes that nearly 170 were wounded in the explosion, while NPR focuses on the broader context, noting that this attack underscores the challenge facing Pakistan's Western allied government as it struggles to contain a wave of militant attacks across the country. Al Jazeera reports that dozens were killed in what it describes as a bombing at a Shia mosque during prayers. The incident highlights the ongoing security crisis affecting Pakistan despite government efforts to contain extremist violence. Turning to nuclear diplomacy, the United States and Iran have begun high-stakes indirect negotiations over Iran's nuclear program in Oman, with the country's foreign minister serving as a mediator. The talks represent a significant diplomatic effort to reduce tensions, even as the U.S. has built up its military presence in the Middle East following Iran's violent crackdown on recent protests. Both sides have indicated willingness to continue discussions, though substantial obstacles remain on core nuclear issues. NPR led coverage by emphasizing the high-stakes nature of today's talks, while the BBC highlighted the U.S. military buildup in the region. Al Jazeera reported that Iranian and U.S. delegations are meeting separately with the Omani mediator, and Newsmax focused on President Trump's stated preference for diplomacy, reporting that the White House said diplomacy is Trump's first choice for dealing with Iran, and he will wait to see whether a deal can be struck. This framing matters. The outlets emphasize either the diplomatic opportunity or the administration's military posturing, depending on their editorial perspective. In related news from the United States, an urgent family situation continues to unfold. Nancy Guthrie, the 84-year-old mother of Today Show co-host Savannah Guthrie, remains missing after disappearing on Sunday from her Arizona home. Blood found on the front porch has been confirmed to belong to her, and the FBI is examining two ransom notes received by the family. Significantly, the first ransom deadline has now passed without direct contact from the alleged abductor. Police have offered a $50,000 reward for information while maintaining that they believe the victim is still alive. The Washington Examiner reports that family members, including Savannah's brother Cameron, say they still have not heard anything from the possible kidnapper. The BBC notes that the family has posted a second video message this week appealing for the 84-year-old's release. The Guardian reports that Savannah Guthrie's brother renewed the family's plea Thursday for their mother's kidnapper to contact them. The Daily Wire confirms that investigators have verified the blood found on the front porch belongs to Nancy Guthrie, and Axios notes that this highly unusual disappearance has captivated the nation. The case remains active with ongoing FBI investigation. Meanwhile, a significant infrastructure standoff is developing in Washington. President Trump has proposed renaming Washington's Dulles International Airport and New York's Penn Station after himself in exchange for unfreezing $16 billion in federal funding for the Gateway Development Project connecting New York and New Jersey. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has flatly rejected the offer, and House Democrats have responded with swift fury to the proposal. Axios reports that Trump administration officials proposed this deal to Schumer, with the Senate leader's fellow Democrats angrily echoing his refusal. The standoff prolongs uncertainty over major infrastructure funding in the region and reflects the high-stakes political negotiations happening around federal spending priorities. In another development that has drawn significant attention, President Trump posted an overtly racist video on his Truth Social platform portraying former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama as apes. The post employs a centuries-old racist trope and comes during the first week of Black History Month. The Guardian reports that the U.S. president posted a racist video on Truth Social that included disproven allegations about ballot counting. Axios reports that Trump posted an overtly racist video clip portraying former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama as apes at the end of a video on his Truth Social feed. The Obama Foundation has not immediately responded to requests for comment on the post. Shifting to the ongoing conflict in Eastern Europe, trilateral negotiations between the United States, Ukraine, and Russia, mediated by U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, have yielded a prisoner exchange, but little broader progress. The warring nations have agreed to exchange 314 prisoners of war, the most concrete outcome from diplomatic efforts to end the conflict so far. U.S. officials characterized the 2 days of talks in Abu Dhabi as constructive, though little progress emerged on broader ceasefire implementation and other contentious issues. The Washington Examiner reports that after 2 days of trilateral meetings, Envoy Steve Witkoff called the negotiations constructive, but had little progress to report beyond the prisoner exchange. Zero Hedge reports that the agreement to exchange 314 prisoners of war represents the most substantive achievement of the recent talks. While the prisoner swap is significant for the families involved, the broader conflict remains far from resolution, a sobering development in global nuclear affairs. The New START nuclear arms control treaty between the United States and Russia expired on February 4th with no replacement agreement in place. For the first time since 1991, the two largest nuclear armed powers now operate without negotiated limits on their nuclear arsenals. The BBC reports that the expiration of New START means there are no limits on nuclear weapons between both countries for the first time in over 3 decades. Zero Hedge emphasizes that the world has entered uncharted territory with the U.S. and Russia now having no limits on nuclear weapons. President Trump has called for U.S. nuclear experts to develop a new, improved, and modernized treaty, as reported by Fox News, but no intensive formal talks currently exist on the matter. This represents a significant shift in global security architecture. In Moscow, a senior Russian military intelligence officer has been shot and wounded in an apparent assassination attempt. Lieutenant General Vladimir Alexeyev, a deputy chief of Russian military intelligence and senior figure in Russia's military general staff, was shot multiple times by an unidentified assailant at an apartment building in Moscow's northwest on Friday. The 64-year-old officer survived the attack. The BBC reports that Alexeyev is a senior figure in the main directorate of Russia's military general staff. The Washington Examiner notes that this shooting follows a series of assassinations of senior military officers that Russia has blamed on Ukraine, though no official attribution has been made in this case. Al Jazeera reports that an unidentified individual shot the lieutenant general before fleeing the scene. The attack underscores the ongoing tensions surrounding Russia's military leadership during the conflict with Ukraine. In the Arctic, Canada and France are formally opening consulates in Greenland's capital in moves characterized as displays of solidarity with the Danish Autonomous Territory's local government amid President Trump's stated interest in acquiring the Arctic island. Trump has cited national security concerns for his position, while Denmark, Canada, and France have opposed any territorial transfer. The BBC reports that these moves were planned before Trump said he wanted the Arctic island, but are being seen as a show of solidarity with Greenlanders. Al Jazeera reports that Canada and France, which both adamantly oppose Trump's wish to control Greenland, will open consulates in the Danish Autonomous Territory's capital in a strong show of support for the local government. The consulate openings take on added symbolic significance in the current geopolitical context. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, a mine collapse in the mineral-rich Rubaya region has killed multiple workers and injured others in the area that produces most of the world's coltan. A survivor who spent 21 hours trapped underground recounted witnessing the deaths of fellow miners around him. Al Jazeera reports that a Congolese miner, Mao, told the outlet he saw his friends around him die as the mine they were working in collapsed. The same outlet notes that in mineral-rich Rubaya, miners suffer from poverty and dangerous working conditions despite producing minerals essential to global electronics and battery technology. The incident highlights the human cost of global demand for rare minerals essential to modern technology. In sports, the Seattle Seahawks will face the New England Patriots in Super Bowl LX this Sunday, with the championship contest expected to be decided by passing efficiency explosive plays, and the Seahawks' revived run game. The Guardian reports that the Seahawks and Patriots are the last teams standing this season, with the championship likely to be decided by the smallest margins. In a historic first, Bad Bunny, the Puerto Rican Grammy-winning rapper, will perform the halftime show entirely in Spanish. The BBC reports that Bad Bunny, who won a Grammy for Album of the Year, will be the first artist to perform the halftime show entirely in Spanish. NPR reports that two friends, Don Crismon and Gregory Eaton, have never missed a Super Bowl and on Sunday will attend their 60th consecutive game.